It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Welcome to Money for Lunch. Every day and every way, I'm getting stronger and stronger. You know, I've had this cough for, my goodness, going on 2 weeks. And I'm grateful to be at the bitter end of it, so to speak. It is, man, it's just been a monumental thing. And anyway, just, you know how it is when you've been sick for a while and you finally starting to, you think it's never going to go away and it finally starts to clear up. You just start getting excited. It's all good. It's all good. It's good to have you here as well. And, you know, all business, really life in general, but specifically business, is about making decisions. And a decision is purely based on what you focus on at that minute, right? A decision today can have an impact on your life, on your lifetime. I made a decision 30 years ago to marry my to start dating this young lady, and she ended up being my wife. And it's been an awesome, awesome 30 forever, right? Both good and bad. So a decision starts with what you're focused on at the moment. If you focus on the economy, you may not feel maybe so good, right? If you focus on, you know, maybe yesterday's fantastic day, maybe yesterday you had a fantastic day and you focus on that, you're going to feel better. So a decision is primarily what we focus on in the moment. And something I've been thinking about, and I just wanted to share this with you, it comes down to really three elements for any decision. And so, like I said, the first thing is, what should I focus on? That is really your first decision every day. Think about it like this. If you got up first thing in the morning and you focused on your goals, you're going to have a different experience that day. You're going to have different feelings than if you focus on what you can't control. Totally different focus, totally different decision. And then the other thing is, what does this mean? Whatever meaning you attach to it, right? So if you look at your goals first thing in the morning, and that's what you start to focus on, and you look at this and you give it the meaning of certainty, you say, hey, I'm going to absolutely get these goals done. I'm excited about these goals. That changes everything again, as opposed to focusing on things you can't control. Maybe you're focusing on something that that happened, I don't know, a while back. Somebody didn't like it. Somebody, you know, asked for a refund back. And those give you different feelings. And then the third element of a decision is, what should I do? So what am I going to focus on right now? What does this mean? And what should I do? So if you wanted to focus on driving your sales, right? Let's say that that's one of your goals this year, is to make more money, to have more sales. And so one of your decisions is, I'm going to, you know, come heck or high water, I'm going to create more sales. I'm going to prospect more, right? Now, what should I do? Well, I'm going to double, triple, quadruple my prospecting efforts to achieve my goal of increasing my sales by, you know, 20% or 2-timing or 10-timing my sales. And you've heard me say this before, and I want to say it again today, and that is, look, your business needs sales consistently, right? Everybody agrees. You're never going to go out of business if you're doing a lot of prospecting, which equals a lot of sales. Now, prospecting is the, I think, the Achilles heel for a lot of people. It really is. And it just so happens that my first guest today is best-selling author John Russo, or maybe Rosso. I didn't get a chance to talk to him before the show. But John Rosso has written a book called Prospect, The Sandler Way. And it is a book that I think you should have as part of your arsenal. John Rosso is a recognized business development expert specializing in executive sales, consulting, and sales productivity training, and author of the best-selling book, Prospect, The Sandler Way, a 30-day program for mastering stress-free lead development. Leveraging over two decades of Sandler training experience, he focuses on helping people succeed by transforming attitude and behavior, as well as techniques for each step of the sales process. For more information about John and the Sandler Way, you can go to sandler.com, and there is literally a wealth of information there. Sandler is one of those, what do you call it? It's become a household name in the sales training industry. John Rosso, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Bert, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet. I have to ask you, and I apologize because we didn't get a chance to chat before the show. Is it Rosso or Russo?
It is Rosso, meaning red. Woo-hoo! In Italian.
Mm-hmm. Ah! Excellent, excellent. Well, you know, I think that this is an area where everybody, and I mean everybody, can improve in. I don't care if you're a multi-billion-dollar company, your prospecting can get better. And if you're a startup, your prospecting absolutely requires you to be better.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I think you said it early where it could be an Achilles heel. We see so many people and hear from so many people who say, I am great. Once I'm in front of my prospect, I am great. My hardest part is getting in front of or talking to that prospect. And it's interesting because back when people did a lot of direct mail, and I guess people still do, but there's a lot of email now and e-campaigns, you know, they might send out 1,000 mailers and get a 1.5% response rate, and they're not necessarily offended by that, even though 98.5% rejected their offer, if you will. But it seems very, very different and personal when you're picking up the phone or when you're walking out to do a walk-in cold call, or when you're even emailing someone, that rejection for some reason feels a little bit more personal. And a lot of people have claimed the demise of cold calling, and in some regards they're right, and in many regards they're wrong. There's no question that tools available today like LinkedIn, like in-mails through LinkedIn, like email certainly can help pave the path to a warmer conversation, and they should. But ultimately, you're going to be needing to have good quality conversations with decision makers to get either invited in or invited to spend more time on the phone with them if you're in phone sales, to be able to have an effective conversation and make those sales to make your goal.
Yes. You know, bottom line is, look, I agree with you. I think that LinkedIn makes it easier. Facebook can make it easier. Twitter can make it easier. You know, maybe Twitter not so much. But, you know, look, bottom line is, no matter what you use, whether it's direct mail or telephone or walking into a customer's office, which is my least favorite, but it is very effective. It's just my least favorite because depending on what you're doing, all day to walk in and cold call on 7 or 8 customers that way, as opposed to picking up the phone. But sure. Either way, you have to prospect. There is no way around it. I mean, now the other way you could prospect, I guess, is you could again run TV ads or ads on Facebook or whatever. But you have to spend a certain amount of money and energy filling that pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yeah. And what I find is there are so many set patterns that really hurt salespeople. I have sat and listened to thousands of people make outbound phone calls, let's say, and they cause themselves so much trouble because the buyers have heard it so much. So a typical phone call sounds like, ring, 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 this is Bert. Hey, Bert. Hi, John Rosso with ABC Company. How are you doing today? Pretty good. You know, immediately you can feel their defense wall descending because, oh my gosh, why did I pick up the phone? And people will even say things like, well, you caught me in the middle of a meeting. I'm not so sure about that. Why did you pick up the phone? You just know that you're going to get off the phone. And so there's a lot of bad habits. And I can put, again, 100 people in the room, and they seem to be all starting the same way. You know, one of the things almost everybody says is it's a nervous tick to say, how are you today? But they almost always feel that defense wall descending. And so one of the things we talk about in Sandler is open up with a pattern interrupt, right? Do something that's not quite so stereotypical. And understand that your tonality is like 80 to 90% of the effectiveness. So don't be sing-songy. Don't be monotone. Certainly don't be mother may I. Here's an example of mother may I where people use words like just and love. I'm just reaching out to you, Bert. I would love if you and I could spend a few minutes together if it's convenient for you. Very, very less than.
Right.
Yeah, very. So as an example, we'll often this is just one example. This is so stylistically, you can choose a very, very different way. But an example of a pattern interrupt might be Bert answers the phone. This is Bert. And the salesperson might say, hey, Bert, this is John Rosso. Bert, I'm looking for help. I'm not sure if it's going to make sense for you and I to talk. I am reaching out to you for a couple specific reasons. Let me share with you what they are, and we'll figure out if you and I should meet at some point. Does that make sense? Something pretty simple. And we sort of call that a combination of a pattern interrupt because it's not typical. And Sandler's got a term called an upfront contract that says use your first 8 seconds to bring their defenses down a bit and maybe sell a 2 to 3 minute conversation. And then if I have any research from LinkedIn – or from Google, or from Twitter, or from Facebook, I can sort of use that as a warmer, right? I could, the simplest warmer would clearly be a referral where I would say, Bert recently had a very nice conversation with Lindsay Demetris. She and I got around to talking about you and your organization, Bert. She thought it would be worthwhile for us speak, and I promised her I would reach out to you. Right, it's a very warm, nice, if you have a referral. If not, maybe I learned that you opened up a new plant in Solon, Ohio, right? And I say, well, let me sort of tell you the reason why I'm calling, and then you and I can figure out if it makes sense to spend time together. Would that work? Sure, John. Hey, two reasons calling. One is had a chance to see in Crane's business that your organization recently opened up a new manufacturing plant in Solon, Ohio. Hey, second reason why I'm calling is I'm in the business of XXX, and now you can begin to run an effective prospecting call. So really, in prospecting, the beginnings and the ends matter so much. People screw up in the beginning by sort of spewing out a bunch of less than just love words, and then in 20 seconds fighting with not interested, send me information, happy with who you're using, call me in 6 months. And then they screw up at the end by not being more directive. I hear people at the end say, well, it sounds like maybe, Bert, we might want to spend some time together. What do you think? And Bert says, yeah, we should. It's just my busy season. Would you mind calling me back in October? As opposed to being a little bit more directive and saying something like, Bert, can I make a suggestion? Here's what typically makes the most sense at this point. If you can, take a look at your calendar. Let's you and I find some time over the next 7-10 days. Invite me out, and you and I can spend a little bit more time talking about X. And I'm going to lead you to that appointment with a little bit more of a nice and kind but authoritative tone. So the beginnings and the ends really matter a lot in effective prospecting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hope that the audience listening picked up on a couple of those nuggets. Let's back up a little bit. So first of all, a pattern interrupt. And for those of you guys who are not familiar with that phrase, a pattern interrupt, this is a very, I think, a strong way of getting attention. And it's a perfect, what do you call it? It's just as it sounds. It's a way to interrupt a pattern that we're used to. For example, if you walk into a retail store, 90% of the clerks out there will walk up to you and ask you, something like, can I help you? Something along those lines. And 90% of the response is no. And
yeah,
I've been to a few stores. Yeah. And I've been to a few stores where they do a pattern interrupt and they'll come in and say, hey, welcome to XYZ store. What brought you in today?
Mm-hmm.
It's completely different. And first of all, it's not a yes or a no. It's an open-ended question, but it's also a pattern interrupt. So questions are always a good pattern interrupt. Just doing something that's a little peculiar can be a pattern interrupt.
I've got a partner when he calls heavily, organizations that would be known for selling, like insurance, a telecom. He has a pattern interrupt, which doesn't fit my style, but it works tremendously. He'll call up and say, this is Bert. He'll say, hey, Bert, John Rosso, listen, Bert, if I told you I was going to make, I was making a cold call, would you want to hang up? And the guy half the time says, probably not. It depends what you're selling. And the other half of the time he says, I probably would. And he says, I'm glad I didn't tell you I was making a cold call. And they all have a big laugh. And he says, hey, listen, bottom line, I don't know that I can help. I am reaching out to you for two specific reasons. Let me tell you what they are. And then let's figure out if we should talk. And in most cases, he's created a nice environment. It's certainly a pattern interrupt. It's not necessarily my style, but it works. So you've got to find that pattern interrupt to break the preoccupation that fits your style.
And I like that. That fits your style. So I love that. And I also like the little script there that you used, the phraseology that you used when it came to doing a referral call. Hey, mm-hmm. John, this is Bert, and I promise, Lindsay, mm-hmm. that I would reach out to you. Because I'm keeping my promise.
Mm-hmm.
And because you and I are mutual friends with Lindsay, you want to make sure you do a favor for Lindsay. I love that one. It's very nice. I think it fits a broad personality, broad type of personality. But it's really nice. It kind of puts you in a nice position.
It does. And here's how people screw it up. Here's the opposite of that, which I think is terrible. Ring, ring, ring. This is Bert. Oh, listen. Hi, Bert. Yeah, hi. This is John Rosso. Listen, I got your name from Lindsay. I got your name? Come
right.
on. And all of a sudden it sounds like the old MCI friends and family. And my defense wall as a prospect is going up, as opposed to Lindsay and I had a very nice conversation. And we got around to talking about your business, Bert, and she thought it would be worthwhile we speak. I promised her I would reach out to you. That's nice.
Yes. No, I love it. I love it because to me, it is a pattern interrupt in the sense that, you kind of showed what the old way of, hey, I got your name, I'm reaching out to you. That's typically what a lot of people do with a referral. It's a nice, I think it's a nice, easy way to set that up. And it shows that you keep your promises. I love that one. I think that's a keeper there.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And it works on voicemail, right? You can leave a voicemail. Right?
Oh, yeah.
You've reached Bert's voicemail. Leave a message. Hey, Bert, John Rosso. Hey, Lindsay Demetrius and I recently had a conversation. We got around to talking about your business, Bert. She thought it might be important you and I speak. I promised her I would reach out to you, Bert. It's John Rosso. 888-888-888, click. You're going to get a return phone call
yes.
from that,
Yes.
So it does interrupt that pattern. The second piece where I see people sort of mess it up is they get too feature and benefit-y. Hi, we're the world's largest. One of the things we say is start to learn to speak in third-party stories. Put yourself in the shoes of that buyer and really think about what problems do you solve. But do them in a third-party world. Example, in my world, it might sound like this. Bert, I spend a lot of time talking to senior vice presidents of sales in software and technology organizations like yourself. And often what I'll hear is they've got senior salespeople, pretty good at what they do. They know their product. Where occasionally we get frustrated is they've quoted a lot of business, so it's in the pipeline, but it just doesn't necessarily seem to be coming across that finish line, and that impacts our monthly cash flow. You know, stories like that engage, and they say to the person on the other side, wow, he gets it, he understands my world, and it provides the ability to ask the question. Any of those things relevant, even worth a two-minute conversation, Bert? And if they say, well, yeah, as a matter of fact, they are, we just relax and say, help me understand that. Tell me more. And because of that, what seems to be happening? And then, you know, it's a 4 or 5 minute discussion, and then you lead by saying, can I make a suggestion? Why don't we do this? Let's take out our calendars, Bert. Let's find a time over the next 7, 10 days where you can invite me out, and you and I can take 45 minutes, an hour together, really talk more in depth about challenge X as it relates to you, pick my brain as to the kinds of things we do in that world with folks who've had similar challenges, and then we can figure out together, do we add real value? And if the answer is no, it's okay. I think we're good at what we do, certainly not right in every situation, and if it makes sense to do some work together, we can scratch our heads and leave a couple of minutes at the end to figure out what that looks like. Sound okay? Sounds okay. And it's a very professional, equal business stature way to approach. We call it the no-pressure approach call because there's no pressure. I'm not trying to sell you anything. I'm not trying to jam anything down your throat. I'm not trying to be less than. I'm not trying to be more than. I'm looking for equal business stature and trying to find ways to be invited in or inviting people out to see me who are qualified decision makers to have a very good business conversation.
Absolutely. You know, in the very beginning of the segment, you started talking about, you know, the percentages using things like direct mail or email campaigns and things of that nature. And you mentioned how when we're doing, you know, prospecting, cold calling, physical prospecting, whether in a networking environment, telephone, or a business-to-business walking in on people, that sometimes we take it personally. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fear that we build up in ourselves. What do you think about that?
I agree completely. It's the fear we've built. We let this little inner six-year-old child, all of us somewhere in us has an inner six-year-old child who is scared or angry. And you know, one of the challenges is when we sit in that room to make calls, we actually leave our adult outside and we say, go in, little boy, go in, little girl, and make these calls. It's almost unfair, right? So we've got to leave our child outside and begin to bring our adult in. And as you said, understand early on, if you started your day understanding, as you mentioned today, is, hey, listen, what do you want to focus on? Why? What does it mean to you? And what should you do about it? You can be very prescriptive about the 100% controllable, important but not necessarily urgent actions you need to take that day to prospect. And so when you really begin to think through, I remember when I first started in 1994 in Sandler, my first week I was so scared, and I was clearly not any good. I made 150 dials, and I got 0 appointments. And David Sandler said, your goal was to get 10 appointments. And I'm like, David, I can't do the math. 150 divided by 0, I can't do the math. If it was 1, well, then I need 1,500 calls. I get it. I don't know how I would do that, but I get it. But and David said, can you get a no? I said, oh, I can get a no. He said, relax. He said, have a business conversation. Why don't you set a goal to get 20 no's this week? All right, I can get 20 no's. But it was interesting, when I began to reposition what failure or success is, we know one of our rules is you can't fail at prospecting. The only way you fail at prospecting is by failing to prospect. And it reframed it a little bit and sort of took it out of the world. And I think some of the things we do, like the just language and the love language and the, you know, am I catching you at a convenient time? And just not, you know, I mean, I don't know. Not that that's a bad one, but often put us in that position where we feel like little children. And then that emotional involvement sort of comes on up. And what I'm looking to do is use my first 8 seconds to sell a 2 to 3 minute conversation. A 2 to 3 minute conversation to sell a 5 minute conversation, a 5 minute conversation to sell a, you pick, but a half an hour, 1 hour, 90 minute meeting. And there's really no pressure along the way.
Well, and here's what's, I'm glad you said that. You're using, you know, whatever, the first 10 or 15 seconds to hopefully sell the next 2 or 3 minutes, and the next 2 or 3 minutes to sell the next 30 or 40 minutes, and the next 30 or 40 minutes to, you know, to get that appointment, or however you want to phrase that. And I think a lot of people are so focused on just getting the appointment instead of as you with your example there of just having a conversation, just seeing if you can really help this person out. Because if you take the time, first of all, and it takes skill, if you can relax and just say, listen, I really want to help this person. I really want to see if I can, you know, how Sandler can deliver the goods for this person, then it takes on a different connotation. It's a different result versus saying, I want to see if I can get an appointment. But, you know, because not everybody qualifies for an appointment.
That's exactly right. There should be a reason why they would invite you in. And I hear a lot of people making calls. Hi, Bert. It's John Rosso. I'm in the XYZ business. I'd like to see if you and I could set aside 30 minutes to do what? You know, you haven't even talked about any reasons why someone would invite you out. So, but so much of it is mindset. I mean, so much of it is our belief systems. And one of the things we say a lot is, listen, you cannot let the way you feel control the way you act. Because I always ask folks, if you think about the way beliefs work, your beliefs lead to the judgments you make about the world and others. Your beliefs and judgments combine to determine your actions, and your actions, of course, determine your results. And I ask people, what do you need to change, beliefs or actions? And everyone goes, beliefs. And I say, well, maybe not. There are times where you can't let the way you feel control the way you act. When I first started, I had left IBM with a successful career at IBM, had sort of moved up the chain, and now all of a sudden, you know, I'm in Sandler. I moved to a city where I didn't know anybody, and I put a phone line in my basement in 1994, and I've got to make cold calls. And I remember saying many times to myself, man, I hate making cold calls. Well, listen, if I waited till I felt good before I made the calls, I'd never make the calls. So there are times where you've got to get outside that comfort zone and not let the way you feel control the way you act, but instead determine those, as you said, what do you want to focus on, right? Why does it matter? What should you do? And then do those things regardless as to how you feel. Then you get different results. Here's an example. I remember talking to David Sandler, and he said, you're not getting any appointments? I said, I'm not getting any appointments. He said, are you getting any referrals? I said, no, how can I get referrals? He said, how can I get referrals? I'm just making cold calls. I just moved here. He said, when people tell you they're not interested, do you ask them for a referral? I said, no, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Why would they give me a referral? And he said, well, are you telling me it's dumb because you've tried it now 20, 30 times and everyone's telling you it's dumb, or you just know? I said, well, I kind of just know. And so what happened is I promised them I would do it. And here's what happened. I remember making a call. This is in 1994. And it was someone said to me, no, I'm not interested. Good luck to you. And anybody who's ever made a cold call has heard those words. Well, listen, good luck to you. And David Sandler taught me to say, well, listen, Bert, thanks so much for your time. It doesn't sound like I can help you. Hey, maybe you can help me. If you were me in my business, any recommendations of people who are in your circle who you think would be open to a two-minute conversation, not unlike the one you and I had? And I called a woman by the name of Helen Alex, and Helen said, I can't think of anybody. And I said, it's probably a supplier. It's probably maybe it's a customer. Maybe it's a partner company. And she said, well, I work really with three main engineering companies. I said, well, I'd be happy to talk to engineering companies. Who do you know? And she said, I know that I work with the president of all three engineering companies. I said, you're comfortable with me reaching out to them? Sure, I don't mind. And that one of those referrals became my first client. And then when I look at the referral chain, you know, it's a company by the name of Brickmont, which referred me to a company called Achmet, which referred me to a company called Stevenson, which referred me to a company called ABB. I mean, and the chain goes on like 19
wow.
companies deep that would have never started if I hadn't had the guts to do what I didn't feel like doing, which is to say, Bert, it doesn't sound like I can help you. Hey, maybe you can help me if you were me in my business. Any recommendations of people who are in your circle who you think would be open-minded to a couple-minute conversation, not unlike the one you and I had? And when she said, I can't really think of anybody, going one step further, politely and respectfully saying, it's probably a supplier of yours or maybe a customer, perhaps a partner company, any thoughts? And my experience, about one out of every five times after a no, you'll get it's not a warm referral, but again, let's do the message. This is what David then taught me the message. Hey Bert,
John,
also listen. Go ahead.
You know, unfortunately, we're out of time, but I'd love to bring you back and talk more about prospecting the Sandler way, the book Prospect the Sandler Way, 30-day program for mastering stress free lead development by John Rosso. And it's available on Amazon. It's also available at Sandler, Sandler.com?
Yeah, Sandler.com. You can go to the there's a store section, and you can buy it right out of the store. You can buy it on Amazon.
And guys, I'm telling you, look, the lifeblood of your business, whether you're a coach, whether you're, you know, doesn't matter what you're selling, whether you sell advertising, whether you're a coach, whether you're a consultant, whether you're, trying to get more speaking gigs, the lifeblood depends on your ability to prospect and prospect well. Today, we covered several different scenarios that will elevate your prospecting. I love asking for a referral from a no. And as John just said, 20% of the time, you're going to get a referral. I also had a similar experience when somebody told me no, I asked for a referral, also worked out well, not as well as 10 or 15 deep, but it worked out extremely well. It's there. There are so many ways to make prospecting a lot more fun, to make it stress-free lead development. Again, Prospect the Sandler Way. John Rosso, thank you so much. We'll have you back soon.
Thanks, Bert.
Good stuff there from John Rosso, how you can build your business quicker, faster, and with less stress. This book should be taught at your business. Everybody should be made to read it, apply it, rehearse it. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be back right after this.
Did you bring the camera phone?
I did.
Do you want to go first?
I've been waiting for this all day.
Okay, this is Bro and Stacy.
Introducing Chase Quick Deposit. Just photograph the front and back of your check using the Chase mobile app on your iPhone and hit send.
It went through?
So cool.
This is so cool. You want to try it?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, it was nice.
Make a deposit from anywhere, anytime with your iPhone.
To Mr. and Mrs. Walker, why would they send my parents a check?
Chase what matters.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Caller Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on Geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Then let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
All right. My next guest, Marko Budic, was born in 1979 in Slovenia. After changing countries and jobs, he now lives with his wife in Switzerland. He is currently working in IT security, studying business in informatics and preparing himself for a new path of being a coach. Marco Buttigieg just co-wrote with my dear friend, Dr. Joe Vitale. The book is called The Midas Touch. Marco Buttigieg, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thank you, Bert. Thank you for having me.
You bet, you bet. So you go from Slovenia to Switzerland. So which one's colder, Slovenia?
No, it's Switzerland for sure. Slovenia is near the Mediterranean Sea, so it's quite warm there.
So it's nice and warm there. All right, I like it. Okay, so let's talk about this. So you, here you are. You're making some changes in your own life. You are heading towards – right now you're still in the IT security industry, and you're heading towards a new path as a life coach. Talk about some of the changes that you had to make, maybe some of the fear that maybe kept you back. I don't know. So talk a little bit about your transitions a little bit, going from Slovenia to Switzerland, from IT to business or to coaching. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting story. I started school in IT and moved on, getting a job as a support technician. And I wanted to go up the chain, trying to find my place to be. I studied civil engineering, which I stopped because it wasn't the right thing for me, and continued my path in IT. In Slovenia, I didn't have actually the possibilities, and neither were there opportunities at that time for me. So I was looking around, what could I do? And so the opportunity came in 2011, where I was able to move to Switzerland. I found a job. I signed the contract, moved to Switzerland. At that time, my wife was my girlfriend. So we moved together to Switzerland, married, and it began, or the change was great. And I started or moved on in IT. It was great, but one or two years later, I felt, exhausted. I felt without moving along, without purpose, without any goals, without any passion, happiness. And this is where the change began, when I started reading books. So,
got it.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to interject this. Yeah. You know, books are an amazing thing. When we start feeding our minds, you start to become alive again. You start to dream, and you start to wonder what else you can do. I have found that in times of my life when I felt really frustrated, when I didn't feel very vibrant, is because I wasn't feeding my mind.
Yes, exactly. It was the same with me. I was always doing sports. It was for my body, training my body. I studied for sure. For myself, I got a lot of know-how, but something else was missing, and this was the spiritual part of the body. And this came when I started reading books from Lewis Hay, and stumbled across Rhonda Byrne's books, and then afterwards in the movie The Secret, where I got to knew some great people. One of them was Joe Vitale, and this was actually the starting point for me, where I wanted to make a change in my life with the law of attraction. Started to read books all across on this topic, and now we have, I don't know, we didn't have any book when we came to Switzerland. Now we have like 50, 60 books about personal development, business, personal development in business, combinations and sorts of books we bought to move on and to be more active also in a spiritual way, to personally develop and to get more of life.
Sure. And I think you hit the nail right on the head, to get more of life. I mean, look, you know, and people listening to the show right now, we know that there's people out there who would be stuck in Slovenia and would never leave because I have family there. This is where I grew up. This is my home. And they would never leave. I mean, because it's kind of scary to leave what you know and to go where you don't know. So you're going to go to Switzerland and all you have there is a job waiting for you. But still, you go there, you bring your girlfriend / now wife, and you start over again. And I think sometimes that in itself is very exciting. When we break free from our fear of the known and we go towards the unknown, it's very exciting. Scary, but exciting.
It is. It is, indeed. Indeed, I have lots of friends which are still stuck in Slovenia. One friend of mine, which I used to work with him in Slovenia, after that he moved to Switzerland to the same company I was working, and now he lives in Switzerland as well. So he took the chance and moved here, and he's very happy. And this is also one thing, fear of losing something, fear of not having what you have right now in the future. It's big, but what I found out for myself, what I can say is you have to pay a price to get something more. For me, this paying a price doesn't necessarily mean money. It means perhaps time. It means leaving my best friend in Slovenia, moving to Switzerland, and knowing that we will see each other perhaps once or twice a year, not more. But for the sake of my life to do this, because my best friend can't help me living a happy life. I have to do this on my own. I have to look for myself first. And when I'm fine and I'm settled and I'm happy with what I have and what I'm doing, I can help other people. And this is exactly the point where I came to, with the help, of course, of the coaching program from Joe Vitale and especially from Dr. Janine Dietrich, my personal coach. She helped me a lot with it, and actually with her I came to that point to find out that my passion is helping people. My passion is helping people with things I love to do.
Absolutely, absolutely. Talk about this a little bit. We all have this thing, some people call it the monkey mind. And, when you're making these big decisions, moving away from your homeland to someplace else, or any kind of big decision, changing jobs, changing careers, getting married, your monkey mind will play some tricks on you. Talk about that a little bit.
Ooh, that's a big topic. That's, I think, the biggest topic humanity is having, and having issues with it. I met lots of people around me who have exactly this problem, except for some people who actually don't bother. They don't care. And these people are living just fine. That's funny. It's like, hey, how can I be like you? Don't worry about all those minds in my head. I'm getting totally wrecked with all this trash crossing my mind. And I found out that this is actually a thing which is possibly also causing by all the media, the internet, all being always online, being always available, always reading, needing to be informed, and
right.
you get so much information, which you take for yourself onto your life, and say, okay, I need this, I need that, I have to do this, I heard this one or that one or however, and then you start planning or thinking about so many different things, and at the end of the day, you lie into your bed and want to close your eyes and take a rest from the whole day. You can't, because all those minds, all those informations are crossing your mind, and you can't get to sleep because it won't let you. And here are some great methods to calm your mind, the brain itself. One method is for sure the one which was Joe Vitale writing about, and this is Ho'oponopono. I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. This is something which calms your emotions, your energy. You can relax, and afterwards to really calm your mind, you can think about that like blue sky. You see a blue sky above you, and you see lots of clouds passing by. And all those clouds are your thoughts, and the blue sky is your brain, your mind. And if there are too many clouds around, you will not see your brain. Your brain will be working, and you will get exhausted following every single cloud. So one thing what you can do is just relax, check your mind, see, okay, this mind, I don't need it, okay, forget it, not thinking actively, not thinking about every thought which passes your mind, and letting it go. So this is the same as if you would pick up a pint of beer in your hand with a straight arm and never let it down. Pint of beer is not heavy, but after 2 hours, you will get very sweaty, still wanting not to put the pint of beer onto the table and to relax. You need to let go of things to have the time to relax, and this is one possibility.
I love that. I like that. Yes, and things like if you're not familiar with Ho'oponopono, it's a mantra or a chant. I've used it. It does calm the mind. It calms the spirit, and it makes a big difference. I like your idea also of using looking at doing the clouds. I think that's a great idea, because you know the reality is that sometimes, as you said, we get so much information, and this information has an effect on the way we think about ourselves, and therefore it changes our level of confidence. It changes our ability to, for lack of better terms, hear our true identity.
That's correct.
So that's correct. Absolutely, I think it's. Go ahead.
It's fine.
So I also like what you said there about the monkey mind. It is, I think, the number one problem that most of us have. When I'm thinking of the monkey mind, I'm thinking about, you know, all the fears that come up, the fear of, you know, what people are going to say about us, the fear of failure, fear of success, fear of, you know, of loss, and it goes on. All these different thoughts in your mind, excuse me, couldn't hit my cough button fast enough, you know, really have this terrible impact on our lives. And those individuals, as you mentioned, the people who don't care about those things are the ones that you see progressively getting better and better, reaching their goals, living the life that you want to live. And it's just a matter of controlling that monkey mind.
Exactly. The monkey mind actually is any thought which comes into your mind without needing it right now, thinking about anything. What do I have to do tomorrow? What happened yesterday? Or why am I, don't know, doing this or that? Or not being in the here and now, not being in the present moment. Yes, and this is sometimes hard to understand and hard to. How to start practicing it.
Yes, it is very difficult, yes. Especially, again, like you said, especially when today's society, when, you know, you're connected to email and to text and to the world by your phone, you're constantly getting bombarded with messages. And it makes it harder to be more present. And I think that when you are more present and you are more centered, you have a more enjoyable experience.
Not only that, it's much more when you are present and centered, as you described it correctly. You will feel a connection to the divine. However, My experience showed me when I'm really centered and in the moment, I can really, I don't know, if I focus and focus my thoughts onto one specific thing, let's say what happened lately, don't know, it's small things like, I would really love to hear this person again, or see this person again. I haven't seen this person for ages. I wonder where this person is, or what does he, she do, or it would be really great to meet her again. I don't know, a couple hours later, exactly, that this person calls me, or I meet this person in the middle of wherever I am. It's like, hey, wait, wow, where did you come from? Some coincidences come up. Who knows if I wouldn't have thought about that, if this person would come up, or I would see him or her, or however. But I really think that being in the present moment and having thoughts controlled in your head can make a huge difference.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Marco Burich, we are out of time. It was a lot of fun having you on the show to talk about your journey, to talk about your best-selling book. It's called The Midas Touch, available on Amazon. And Marco, looking forward to having you back again sometime.
Of course, and available on my webpage. I have 80 books left with my photograph, and of course, anybody who would contact me, he can get also my autograph on that book. So you're welcome.
Absolutely, absolutely. Anyway, Marco, thank you so much. We'll have you back again. Good stuff there from Marco Buric. And you know what? His journey is very similar to what a lot of us have to do. You know, right now you have to make the decision. You have to leave where you're at to move forward. And you've been afraid to do it, and you have to do it. And this is what's before you. Maybe it's hiring a new person. Maybe it's firing somebody that you know isn't performing well. Maybe it's cutting ties with old friends and getting on to new friends. Maybe it's getting a new job. Maybe it's all of those things or something completely different. Bottom line is, whatever you're afraid to do, that's the thing that you have to do. Whatever it is that you're afraid to do, that's the thing that you must do. Remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.